tank. Go ahead, Andy. Say that again.
It was spontaneous. Let's see. all you can really do is allow your resonance to change, so you can't really change it either. But when you allow your resonance to change, then in the analogy you were talking about with people hanging onto a sinking boat, you jump off the boat and towards the boat that's not sinking, that can take you away or, you know, rescue you, however you want to look. You continue the analogy, but yeah. You have to be the change that you want others to see and follow. So they see you swimming and they say, oh, there's another way. So you can't make them change. I mean, you can yell and scream and say, hey, follow me, but only they can choose whether they hear you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We can take some gillyweed and go swimming with the dolphins. Seriously, it is about shifting our perception, and that's what I was getting at, Teresa, and it fits right in with a lot of what everybody else is saying. It's about relationships and boundaries, and things trigger us until they don't. And yep. And that sounds contrite or silly, but really what it means is simply, as long as we have a resonance with that struggle, it's going to trigger us. And it doesn't mean we're never going to be triggered, but often what happens is when we work through our own resonance and holding on to all that, then the trigger catches and we recognize it and we go, oh, okay, I'm going to breathe through that and then just let it go. And all we can do is literally be that change we wish to see and be that pillar of light that actually invites people to be their own pillar of light. Is that making sense? It's really about stepping into this place, and I do see this pillar of light, and this imagery is coming a lot from, I think, the light workers method, but it's really about just stepping into this light, stepping into your own light, stepping into your own potential. It doesn't mean you don't have doubts, you don't have fears, but you catch them. And actually, doubts and fears are meant to be a gift. They're meant to, like, be something that comes to the forefront of our mind so that we can actually recognize, oh, here's something that we can actually shift. Here's something that we can actually view differently. Here's something where we can let go of the life raft and go the other direction and literally go for the swim or go look for the other boat. But it's really about just trusting and actually even just letting go of the life raft and trusting that something's going to lift us up and take us to the other boat. We don't have to effort to get there. That's the beauty of it, actually. And when I say we don't have to effort, it doesn't mean we don't make steps. We don't take practical steps. We don't do things to actually keep ourselves moving forward. But we don't try to control it all, and we don't keep the struggle going. And we do recognize that this is a little uncomfortable because I'm not used to actually letting go that fully and that completely. Mm-hmm. And trusting that fully and that completely. And yet when you do, it's like almost this giddy feeling, like, wow, I didn't realize it could be this good, and wow, it's just getting better and better. And the more you can do that and maintain your own presence, the more you're going to attract that around you. So it's like that being the example, living and practicing what we preach. Living, being a living example so that the people around you can recognize, oh, it is possible. We don't have to be clawing our way to the top. We don't have to be fighting for scraps. We don't have to be making, this is something else that's been really key and that's coming up. We don't have to make other people and situations and things wrong to let go of them.
Oh, okay.
That is a huge tendency that's going on in the global consciousness. It's like we have to, that's the polarity going on in the parties, and that's the polarity going on in life, actually. It's like we don't have to make a person wrong to leave that relationship. We don't have to make a job wrong to leave that job and move on to something new. We can take the gifts and the blessings and gratefully move on to something new. So we don't have to separate and dump that guilt and that wrongness and that judgment to let go. Say what?
Create an end.
Yeah, we don't have to, Norman just said, we don't have to create an end. We can just have a beginning. That's interesting. That's an interesting perspective, because we always think, oh, we have to have an ending to have a beginning, and I can see that, but there's also, you can have a beginning and then just have another beginning and then have another beginning, and that's really about gratefully just moving forward and allowing it to bring us to this place of whatever's next. Whatever's next.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel this, I actually feel like this balloon or this bubble of trust kind of descending down on the group like this light that is just kind of descending and overtaking everyone. It's this bubble of trust and well-being and this knowing that, like nature, that I am taken care of, and it's not the Darwinian concept of the survival of the fittest. It's the cooperative aspect of life nurturing life, life supporting life, people nurturing people, people nurturing life. So bringing in this consciousness of nurturing and this consciousness of trust and this consciousness of well-being, and it just feels like it's just kind of, like I said, descending on the group, and not in a heavy way. It's like a lightening people up and lifting people up. And I just got this funny little metaphor of, we were talking about the lifeboats and everything. I just got this funny little metaphor of, and their angel wings in the water.
If you see something you don't like in the world, you don't necessarily have to be against it, because that creates the polarity. Just be neutral.
Yes.
You can certainly not prefer it, and you certainly don't have to like it, but you don't. But to be against it just creates another energetic charge against it. So, and that's hard, because you don't want it to continue. But
yeah.
If it's something you can personally do to change it, then do so. But if it's not something you'd personally do to change it, then just try to be neutral.
That's beautiful, Andy. That's the key. If you can do something to change it, have at it. Do something to change it. But if it's something bigger than you and you don't feel like you can do something to change it, just let it go. Actually, you know, be as neutral as you can, but be okay with, oh, I'm not okay with this, and own that. Own that I'm not okay with that. Instead of spewing it out there, just own it and then breathe into it and let it kind of melt into your field, because we're all human. Much to many of our dismay.
There can be a time to protest something, certainly. That can be an action.
Yes.
But otherwise, most people spend most of their time protesting, saying how much they don't like, don't want, you know, either. But being a part of the solution, don't, you know, magnify the problem by speaking to the problem. Either be part of the solution, or you can remove yourself or be neutral, or, you know, find a way to sort of change the channel, so you don't have to keep looking at that thing you don't want to see. But.
Beautiful metaphor. Change the channel. Look at it, and then change the channel. Whew. Yeah, that's powerful. And that I feel like that's just settling into everybody's hearts. Hmm?
But look at it, and changing the channel is one thing. But looking at it and also seeing the love in it or the beauty in it, even though it may not look at that way, it may be just another way of expressing itself as such, meaning as love or a good thing. Yet from your perspective, it doesn't seem that way. And so by not understanding all of it, because we only have a limited truth to ourselves, look at it. Again, be neutral about it, yet also give the opportunity to see the love in it or the good in it, even though it may not seem that way. So seek always the light and the love rather than just despise it and say, ah, that's the bogus. So also be open to see the other side that may come from the love or from the good that may not look that way, though. Be open.
Yeah, there's always a gift. There's always a gift. And it's really about can I see the gift? And can I be the gift? Can I see the gift and then can I be the gift? So can I actually just hold space? I don't have to impose my opinions on other people. I can. But if I have to impose my opinions on them, then I have some sort of charge that I need to prove something. It's like just being able to see the gift and hold the space and do what I can in my circle of influence to shift anything that feels out of sorts to me. And so something else is just coming up too. Another person, one of the things that they had as their intentions is feeling unique. And feeling like that is somehow wrong or somehow being judged as wrong. And here's the beauty of it. We're all unique. We're all one to one, but we're also all unique. And the beauty of these times are it's important that we actually own our uniqueness, own our weirdness, our quirkiness, because that's going to be how whatever gifts that we have to offer in this world are going to show up. They're going to show up through our weirdness, our quirkiness, our abilities show up through our bodies and through our fields. And the best way for them to show up is if we actually own that, yeah, maybe we're a little different here and we have a little bit different opinions. And then just stepping into that, so stepping into our uniqueness, but not from a defensive posture. This is where we're working on boundaries now, so I feel like we're really, really working on these boundaries because it's not about defending yourself. It's about being yourself. When you are yourself, there is nothing to defend, and people can listen. People can hear. People can relate. People can relate. Oh, and it's Valentine's week, and we have the 100 billion rising on Valentine's Day, and we have the new moon and Chinese New Year, so it's like it's very much about relating and getting to this place of being able to relate in our differences. Not only, and actually, that makes relating even more fun because how fun is it to relate all the time to the same old, same old? If everybody's the same as we are, what's the point of another person or another presence? Somebody has something to say. Fear of self-expression, and that actually there is a sense of persecution and fear of being made wrong, and it really is hooked into ourselves from our past, because in the past and still in many parts of this world, actually, if you express yourself and you are quote-unquote made wrong, it could be lethal. It could be your life. Or the life of your family. So we need to really work with that fear, that fight-flight response, and do some clarifying there and some integrating at the pineal pituitary level and the forebrain, the prefrontal cortex. And for whatever reason, the medial forebrain, which ironically I think has to do with erections, and I don't know why that's coming up, but it's like, okay, but there is that whole aggressive hearing. Nice. And now we're clearing out the throat chakra. I feel like there's all this gunk in the throat chakra, and it's all related to, throat and heart chakra. So it's really about, can I really say this? So it's cleaning out the throat chakra, but the front and the back of the throat chakra. Andy, you're up.
Well, what came to mind when you were talking about the front and the back of the throat chakra was the ability for the throat chakra to draw upon the other chakras or the heart, but it's actually drawing upon the shoshana, the central channel, and then the ability to express it outward. So the voice is actually coming not from the throat chakra, but through the throat chakra, from the heart, from the mind, from the source. So.
From the integration of all of them.
Well, it's not the throat chakra that's doing the doing. It's just the expressing that aspect of things, just like the each chakra expresses it in its own way, I guess. So.
Great, and it looked like it had a big hairball.
Well, for some people, to explain the throat chakra one more, so you understand it and look where it's at. If you look at the throat girdle, meaning, look at your throat where it's at and what's attached to it, especially when you go sideways, if you go outwards. It's your arms and shoulders, right? And throat chakra is about expression. And you're expressing not just only with your verbal throat, but you're also expressing with your shoulder and your arms. It's the extension of your throat. So if you lift up your arms straight up, like a cross almost, it is the expression of self that is not just expressed through the voice, but also through the expression of your hands, the things that you receive, the things that you click on, the things that you give. It's all a part of your expression. So it's not just thinking of your throat and your neck right there, but also everything attached to it on the side. And so your limbs. And so when you look at that, be aware, it's a voice of expression. Is also a gift of writing, cooking, feeling, touching, the whole thing. It's all about the throat. And so be quite aware when the throat is not clean, to clean off your hands, to clean and be aware of what you touch and how you reach out. And so sometimes it's the expression of self that comes through all that throat chakra, which is very, very powerful, but yet not seen as such when we talk about throat, because we're so physical, looking at just our throat in itself. So add the upper limbs to it, because that's part of your throat.
But you also said shoulder and hand, which are other expressions of the heart. So.
Yes.
Yes, that's what actually I was thinking too. I hadn't even considered the hands and the shoulders and the arms, but when the throat is between the head and the heart, so it's really let's bring them together and let's actually do something with them. So that's the physical manifestation of creating in this world and actually stepping into that creative mode, and that's the beauty. It's like we want to tap into that creative mode and we want to create from a new space.
Again, in the head and the heart, that's sometimes I've been talking to my mom about it, as a matter of fact, not to bring the story of my mom in there, but we think with our head, with our head, we create ideas. And then if you go back into our heart, it's when we decide if this is the right idea and to move forward with it. And then the throat is in between that expresses such, the expression of moving forward, the creation of how can I make this happen physically or emotionally or spiritually. But again, it's in between the head and the heart. And the head is almost there. It's your willpower. The heart is your emotional power, you know, and your throat of such being expressed and put into action on the canvas, however we're going to look at it. But yes, it's always to see the heart and the head is between the throat and your head is on it. It's amazing to look at these chakras. If you really dive into it, the knowledge that sticks behind it and how far you can take it, it's amazing. And when you come fully aware of it, that when we have a cotton ball or whatever in your throat, then
a hairball.
Cotton ball works too.
Yeah, well, you know, I chew on those. Especially if you had a root canal or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now I feel that. Oh.
You were cutting balls in your mouth in that moment to absorb all that is like, oh.
Oh, and that has very much to do with self-expression, Susan, that whole root canal. Wow.
Yep.
I'm holding my jaw now. I'm going, ow.
Makes my jaw tighten up.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like almost like energetically I see like a draining tube coming from the jaw down through the throat and down, we don't want it to stay stuck in the throat, so down through the throat, heart channels, through the central channel. So I actually feel like it's just being drained and cleansed in through that through the central meridians. I am still holding here because I'm holding here on purpose because I feel it. Norman's saying, move your hand. I'm like, no, this is how I communicate. So it's kind of also stuck here at the solar plexus level, which is the yang of the throat. So it feels like we're doing a chakra integration and cleanse along with the meridians.
Creating a vortex.
Yeah.
It's circling around the heart like a tornado.
Nice.
So it's like mixing the colors of the three chakras.
Say that again.
Mixing the colors of the three chakras. I know heart is green. I'm not sure about the other two. So, getting
solar
blue
plexus,
and red, but I don't know if that's true.
Well, it's green, blue, and yellow.
Okay. Well, what I get when you mix blue and yellow?
Green. Isn't that perfect? See, look at the perfection of all of these systems. And the way that
it's
linked.
It's just expanding the green outward.
Yes, that's beautiful. Oh, I can see that. See, I mean, this is how the question is, trust. How can there be anything but trust? The trust is like so evident when we see the way all of these systems, regardless of their philosophies and where they come from and how they all interconnect. Beautiful. Now, we're working with the senses now, too. I've actually been reading that book, The Man Who Tasted Shapes. If you guys haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's about the senses and how sometimes they blur in people and how we think that that's wrong or abnormal, and yet it's more natural to us, just like our gifts. It's about actually integrating them and coming to a place of where we can be more aware of more of life at the subtle nuance level than we are used to. ah, this is beautiful. And I'm looking like kind of like at our fields, and part of what I'm saying is letting go of the past. I'm actually seeing that part of the reason we need to let go of the past is so that we can become more aware of all of those subtle influences instead of continually holding space all of these old wounds and all of these old limitations and all of these, instead of holding space and arguing for our limitations and holding on to the past for fear that somehow we won't exist or somehow the people of our past or the situations of our past won't exist, somehow we'll disappear if we don't keep hold of this past. And we need to let go of that thought. Because the past, just it is the past. It was there, it happened, and us holding on to it doesn't necessarily serve. In fact, it does contrary. It doesn't serve at all. It serves the past. And actually, it doesn't even serve the past. The ancestors are coming forward now and saying, that's not true. It doesn't serve the past. Because the past does not want to be repeated. The past wants to see what's new. Nice.
I'm getting waves of gratitude.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Gratitude for a new attitude.
I love it. Nice. And everybody on this call, I really know, really wants to make a big difference in the world and feel these waves of gratitude. Feel them, really, really feel them, because the more you feel them, the more of a difference you're going to be able to make in the world, because you're going to actually express the world. I just saw this metaphor. It's like, I heard, it's not like thumbing your nose at people who are struggling and saying, too bad for you, I feel good. It's about instead saying, look at how I'm doing. Look at how I can feel. And look at how good things can be if we let them. Mm-hmm. If we invite them. If we embrace our lives as they are, look, experience, and I will help you if you want. Feel like I'm doing some integration at the bridge of the nose for some reason, the bridge of the nose and the base of the skull. It's like, I feel like almost like it's lifting up and setting right our heads on the top of our spines so we're no longer looking down. We're looking straight forward. And we also have better range of motion. Better range. Nice. And this is working on the balance and the equilibrium within the body and bringing in balance between the physical, emotional, mental, all of the etheric, all of those realms, like doing an alignment, an aligning and a balancing. Oh. And I just got another one of those waves of gratitude. everybody breathe that in and receive it. There's so much love. Okay, Andy, I don't know what you're feeling, but I'm feeling my lower back and the top of my sacrum.
What's that?
Huh?
I'm not sure what I'm doing either. I'm sort of just tracking energy down the right side of my body, so.
And I think mine's going down my back wall. I love it. Coughs are good, actually. It means you're coughing that hairball out.
My cats are watching me too. Yes, I'm coughing.
Nice. I don't know what this is, Andy, but I've seen this recently. Like, I keep seeing like images of like the Aurora Borealis. You know what that is?
You mean outside or in your mind's eye?
In my mind's eye, and it's very important for some reason. If anybody else knows, feel free.
Well, it's some sort of electromagnetic. Let's see. Is it something you're just perceiving when you're quiet or meditating? Is it something you discomfort?
And it comes up a lot in it's come up in a couple people's sessions, actually, and it just came up again, and it's like I can see it. And the words Aurora Borealis come up, and I don't know if that just means that's just because my mind is attaching to that as a mental image, or if, I know it's important.
Well, it is a visual, you know, manifestation of the electromagnetic field. It's one of the few, you know, it's one that we can see, so.
Yeah, I know it's important. So I know it has something to do with our wiring and what we're being downloaded. So it's working at the neurological level, as well as the energetic. It's working at all levels. I just got corrected. It's working at all levels, but my mind's eye sees it primarily. It's starting at the neurological level.
It's also an upgrade of the Wei Qi.
Yeah.
Because Aurora Borealis is when you get a lot of whatever the high charge particles from, you know, sunspots or whatever, and our Earth's inability to block them or whatever. So that's like our neurologic system is being bothered by something from without, you know, and so I mean, it's discharging, and so some of it is trying to upgrade the protection system.
Oh, and you just showed me too, because like several people were saying, you know, about boundaries and how the world around them, everybody's so fear ridden and they're having mm-hmm. struggles staying in their own space, and that just clarified part of that for me. You just clarified that, you know, it's like cleansing that aspect and upgrading it, but showing that even those particles that were cleansing, like look at how sunsets come about and look at how Aurora Borealis come about. It's like what we were talking about earlier. See the gift and see the beauty in the purging. See the beauty in the cleansing. See the beauty in the upgrading.
Yeah. Because it's just charged particles in the atmosphere. We choose to judge them as being beautiful because our eyes are able to perceive it. So, but.
Yeah. So it's about, so the message is focus on the beauty. Focus mm-hmm. on the gift.
But at the same time, if there's too much of those things coming in, that you know something's not right. So if you see too many beautiful sunsets, you know there's too many particles in the air. So what may be, you know, happening, what may be wrong, quote-unquote, And so so it also can be a signal that there's that all is not well, or to be, you know, careful, or like I said, upgrade your defenses. So, so it's both.
Yeah. It's still, about coming back to that neutral space.
Yep. Also, to set the intent in your Wei Qi to only let in what you really need to know. So, again, the things you need to act upon, so let that come in. If it's a lot of useless clutter, then what it is do you need to, you know, do to be able to change that channel so that you're not picking up too much outside stuff? Because if all you're doing is picking up outside negativity, then you can't be the change you want to be because you're feeling negative.
That's beautiful. Say that again, please.
If you're picking up too much quote-unquote negative outside stuff or just getting too much chatter in your system, however it's coming in through the five senses, through the subtle senses, through illness, then, you know, if this outside influences is making you sick, then you can't be well enough to be the change that you want to be or you can't be the person you want to be to, you know, number one, be happy in your own self, but also to be that example for others to see. You can't take on the whole world's negativity. It's you know, all it does is make you sad.
Exactly. Thank you. Did everybody hear that? So essentially what that means is not only do you have the right, you have the responsibility to maintain your own integrity, your own balance, and so the awareness is important, and it's important for you to actually make a declaration of your boundaries and make them as a universal thing, saying, I only invite what in my energy, what will serve me and what will help me serve the world, instead of trying to do it all. Beautiful.
Pick your battles.
It's a what?
Pick your battles.
Pick your battles, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And if you decide to engage, then engage fully, but just choose carefully. There's always plenty of battles to engage.
Exactly. So, yeah, you
choose wisely.
I'm just wondering if battles is the metaphor we want to be using.
Thank you. It's not, Mark. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
You want to say something on that?
No, I'll let you handle it. It just caught my attention.
Got it. So
choose where to put your attention.
Yes, exactly. So it's really about choosing what serves and where we are going to put our attention. And it really is about opening up to our unique gifts and abilities. And the only way we can do that is by choosing where we focus our attention and choosing how we focus our attention. Do we focus our attention on the holes we always continually fall into, or do we focus our attention, we lift our heads up, which is what I just saw earlier, and start looking ahead and focus on, that feels right. That actually looks right. This, and when I say right, it's not like right or wrong. It's like right for me, right for the situation. So it's not, again, about right or wrong. It's about that feels right in a dharmic way. What it's more purposeful for me. It's about stepping into our own individual purpose. Because we all have a purpose here. Mm-hmm.
And what's right is always changing. It's only what's right now in this moment.
Exactly.
And sometimes when you take that step, it doesn't make sense why you would take that step and not the other step that you know, might seem more logical or more in your habit pattern. So.
Yes. So it is. It's like a constant vigilance, but not from a combative standpoint. From a more curious standpoint, actually, I'm gonna vigilantly pay attention to where I'm paying attention. What is catching my attention? Is this helpful? I love that phrase from Course in Miracles. Is this helpful? I mean, if you just make that the question you ask yourself continually, it's a really good guidepost. Is this helpful? Am I feeling better or am I falling down all the time? So, doing some more, we're going to do some brain integration around that, again, around the senses. I feel like going back to the brain and the center medium and the prefrontal lobe, it was kind of like, whoop, we had a, not a glitch, another shift. And it's like, okay, let's bring this back into awareness. The center medium is that part of the thalamus that knows what's dharmic, what's right for me. And as Andy stated, it's what's right for me now. So timing. So working with the concept of time and timing within the brain and within our lives. How many people have noticed that 2013's already flying by? Whew. Mm-hmm. So our relationship to time and timing and synchronicity, we want to flow in it more. Catch the rhythm, catch the wave, catch the nuances of the messages around us and the messengers around us. Mm. And sometimes the messengers, quote, excuse my expression, piss us off. And when that happens, we know there's a really big message for us. And how can we make that right within ourselves, right here and right now? Lovely if everybody on the call just took a few deep breaths and actually tapped their crown of their head and their heart at the same time.
Feeling like it's coming to a close, so.
I am too. I'm sorry to just you're quiet, but it's like, okay. It feels like.
Just a resolution. I go back to that vortex around the heart, and it's sort of slowing back down again. It's integrated, and then the color is starting to come back out, the blue and the yellow.
Nice.
So just that it's kind of coming to a completion, dropping back down into the heart.
Great. Beautiful. And I don't know what this is actually, but a crystalline sacred geometric pattern.
Mm-hmm.
put in our heart centers. So everybody, just envision that and open your heart to receive that if it feels right for you. Nice. I love it. I'm seeing all sorts of fanciful, but it.
What's
that? I said I'm seeing all sorts of fanciful things, you know, dragonflies, butterflies, all sorts of nature spirits. But what I'm getting is it's coming to a close.
Yeah, I just feel like the energy is kind of slowing down. The vortex isn't quite so intense. I was literally twitching for much of the session, the right side of my body, my face, whatever. So that's why I couldn't say much.
Thank you.
I was trying, but it's like, ah. So.
No, it's okay.
Debbie, what geometric shape did you see?
Say that again. I didn't hear that.
Oh, what geometric shape?
You know, it's very complex, and it actually, I can't even tell you for sure. It feels like it is a shape encased in a shape encased in a shape. So it's like it's very complex. It looks almost like a faceted diamond that's cut into a lot of different facets.
Thank you.
I think it's a project. So I just heard at least one of the shapes is a dodecahedron.
Yeah, dodecahedrons have been popping into me the whole time, but for every reason I wasn't supposed to say it. So.
You what?
There's only one. It's one of the shapes, so there's more shapes.
Yeah, there's like three. I was getting my cube within a dodecahedron within a circle, and then as it goes in and out, it creates all these different shapes. So.
Yes, thank you. It mutates. That's why I was like, okay, I see a dodecahedron here, but like, what is all this other? So it feels to me like when I just said that, it's like it mutates because it's part of our abilities to adapt in the moment. Beautiful. So it's gonna, like it works well with that range of motion and that ability to adapt in the moment. Oh, anybody else have anything?
Okay, I'm getting a cube within an icosahedron within a dodecahedron. I had to Google platonic solids quickly. So.
Thank you.
Would you repeat that?
He said a cube within an icosahedron within a dodecahedron. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. It's very similar in a Merkaba, yeah. But it's even
similar
more.
To what?
He said it sounds like a Merkaba, and I said, it's very, I understand that, but it's even more complex.
I was getting that word popped in, too, so I just, but yeah, it wasn't quite the right word to say. So.
Yeah.
Debbie, I had something, this is Suzanne, I haven't been on the call in a couple of months because I was traveling, but I had the experience of, or just the awareness that something about our heart really finally actually taking over our mind. And there's some kind of you know, and even on an outward, the out picturing of what that looks like, you know, if relationships are breaking apart or, you know, like the woman who spoke of just seeing all the anger in the world, and a lot of people are really having a hard time with listening to their hearts because it's foreign.
Yes. Well, it's actually natural, but it's been programmed out of us.
Right.
So it feels foreign.
And, yeah. And yet it's like this knowing in your heart is so, it's just so powerful that it's almost like things are happening to force us to not pay attention to our minds and to only hear our hearts. And I feel like that geometric thing has something to do with that communication.
Absolutely it does. That's why it's going in the heart. So it really is about reconnecting us to that heart space that we've forgotten.
Right. Which, thank God.
Which what?
I mean, not that we forgot, but thank God it's coming back.
Yes.
Although I guess we wouldn't have been so appreciative if we never forgot it, you know. There's beauty in that. You know, so.
Yeah, well, that's actually that's a beautiful way to look at it, Suzanne. It's about finding the beauty and the gift in all of our experiences, and blessing our experiences, blessing that person that cut us off in traffic, and blessing that person that caused us. You know, it's like recognizing the gift and just blessing them.
Yeah, and even the people that are closest to us, which of course are the ones that do have the ability to hurt us the most, it's being able to, I mean, I had the experience just actually in the last couple of days where I had to say it's really not about me hurting you or me leaving you. It's more about me taking care of me. And there's still compassion and love there, but it's, you know, we were so programmed to kind of care the way nurturing looked like, the way caring looked like, especially for the feminine energy within all of us. You know, it was always externalized, and it's now something that we can't give it away unless we can give it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's a very big difference between caring and nurturing.
Right.
Caring is, if you look up the definition of caring, it's worrisome energy. Nurturing is
really
not. Nurturing is fulfilling. I mean, it's basically uplifting energy.
Uh-huh.
Were you on the call earlier when we were talking about not having to make people or situations or things bad or wrong to leave them?
Yeah, I joined at like 8:03, so I don't know how long you were talking earlier, but yeah, that I thought I heard that part.
Yeah, because that's the part that I'm actually realizing. It's like a lot of times we feel so much pain because we don't feel we have the right to shift from one experience to another or from one relationship to another without,
exactly.
For some reason, that something has to be wrong, either with
right.
us or with them. In order for us to move on, instead of exactly what you said, it's not about them hurting you, it's about you caring for yourself,
mm-hmm.
nurturing yourself.
And ultimately, that's actually better for them, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like the whole 50s thing, remember, you know, when you're younger, everybody had this kind of idealized view of the 50s. Well, hello. I mean, all women, we were taught to, like, to be caring meant you worried. Well, that's like what you were just saying. That's like, what does worry do?
It doesn't do anything.
Right. Nothing positive.
The only time worry does something good is when it's in your digestive system and you worry your food through your digestive system.
Why is it good there?
It's just part of Chinese medicine. It's the emotion of the stomach, pancreas, and spleen. And it's just meant that's what worry is. Worry is thinking. And thinking is good as long as the thought goes through and it's not obsessive. It's not regurgitated. Hence the fact.
Oh, I see.
Nothing is bad. It's just how do you use it in your life? How do you use it in your world? How do you work with it? How do you relate to it?
I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, always bring it back to yourself, Suzanne.
What?
Always bring it back to yourself. It always comes back to us.
It always comes back?
It always comes back. In other words, how you are in your world always comes back to how you are in your world. How you view your world, how you relate to your world, how you relate to the people in your world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a year for loving ourselves. And what that really means, because what we've been taught love means isn't necessarily what it truly means.
Exactly. You know? It's about redefining love and its natural essence as opposed to, you know, there are different types of love. It's just noticing where you're relating. Which type are you relating? At what level are you relating? And, you know, and it's not that those love relationships aren't useful here. It's just about recognizing where am I relating? At what level of love am I relating?
Yeah, if I'm relating at a level of need or insecurity or responsibility or obligation or any number of things as opposed to joy, just, you know, kind of a gracious gentleness that you feel toward, you know, that's, I mean, you can feel love talking to people for 20 seconds.
That's
unconditional love.
That's your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's your heart. So, yeah, and boundaries, actually, don't mistake needs for neediness. Unclear boundaries come and neediness come from not recognizing that you are a human being and you have needs.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that, but that's so true.
Yes. When you recognize I have needs and I'm getting my needs met, then people know where they stand with you. People can relate with you better. People aren't always walking on eggshells because you have all these unspoken needs that they're trying, that you're expecting them to meet, and they're not reading your mind and doing it. I'm not directing this directly at you, Suzanne. I'm just using the
right.
One you
sensing
that,
something. Oh yeah, they're sensing something, just like we sense things, and then of course, because it's not a clear boundary, neither one of you get it right because you're not putting out the clarity and they're not sensing the clarity because you don't have the clarity. So it's like, whoa. No wonder the world messed up.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Well, at least we're on the right track. Oh, my goodness. That's so funny.
So yes, drink that in. Anybody else? Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I lost Andy.
Oh, did we? Andy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Debbie.
You're welcome.
Thank you from the equator.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Greetings, everyone.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.